Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th of November, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray. And don't you just hate it when the computer does something you're not expecting it to?
Yeah, that how often does that happen ever?
Double firing.
All right, folks, 'tis the season. Now that the momentary diversion that is Thanksgiving is out of the way, the long, slow slog to the end of the year begins. And you know what that means? No matter what your religious beliefs, no matter what denominational or non-denominational holiday your group has put into place to take over the winter solstice, you know that Christmas, in terms of the secular meaning, is right around the corner. And that means presents. Being geeks, we're not likely to be asking for more cashmere socks. So what are you going to ask for? Give us a call. Some people are looking for new computers. Desktop, laptops, netbooks, Windows 7, Linux, Macs. What are you going to get? Give us a call. Maybe you're happy with your computer, but you'd like a bigger monitor. Give us a call. Are you in the market for special software, something for programming or video editing? Give us a call. Everybody likes games. Which ones are you pining for the most? Give us a call. How about a great smartphone, a Droid, an iPhone, a Droid, Windows Mobile, or even a Droid? Give us a call. Ebook readers are predicted to sell, or a Droid. Did I forget that? Sorry. Or a Droid. Ebook readers are expected to sell in massive numbers in the near future. Are you looking for one? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And of course, you can answer our poll at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And the question is, what tech are you asking Santa for Christmas? The choices are new computer, bigger monitor, special software, lots of games, smartphone, ebook reader, and I don't do Christmas, you insensitive Claude. Now, once you're done with that, you're going to have a lot to say. So click on the little yellow box underneath. Click on give us your opinion. It'll take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And you're a little premature with the bell there. And you can put in your... Unfortunately, for some reason, and I'll have to fix that when I get home, the poll question didn't change over. I don't know why. The question should be, let us know what your tech wish is for Christmas. Maybe your own personal Santa will be reading over your shoulder. So give us a call. That's 966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like Ed did. Ed, what's your question?
Good morning. I'm afraid I may be needing to ask for a new computer.
Wait, where are you calling
from? I have a Dell, an older Dell with XP, and it was on. I was using it. I left for a while. I came back, and the screen said operating system not found. And I turned it off, waited a bit, turned it on, was able to use it again. And since then, I've not been able to do anything.
Sounds like the hard drive.
Did you back up all your files while you could use it there?
Sufficiently.
Yeah.
Good. Well, good.
Yeah, if you're lucky, it's a directory problem, and what is it, FDisk MBR can fix it.
Well, if he does the SpinRite test, if you've got another computer in the house and you can get the SpinRite program and put that on a bootable disk and run that and do some diagnostics on the SpinRite, it will take, the whole day to do it. But...
Yeah. Yeah, SpinRite's an $80 program from Gibson Research Company, and it can resurrect dead hard drives. And we techs use it a lot, but it's a little expensive for a home user to get when you can get a new terabyte drive for about the same price.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you have all your data backed up, it's usually easiest just to get a new hard drive. Or use that excuse to get a new computer.
Yeah, this is your chance.
Okay, now let me ask a second question. If I do get a new, say, do you still get netbooks that have XP?
Depends on some dealers. Yes, you can.
Okay, and if I can't, if I have to get a new computer, can I put my old XP on the new computer?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
But then you got to worry about all the drivers for the new hardware. Mm-hmm. Which may be an issue. Yeah. There
may not
be drivers. Yeah.
Right. Is there a reason why you don't want to go to Windows 7?
Well, I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
That habit you might have to break pretty soon because, like I say, it's only going to cost you more. And there are some benefits to going to Windows 7.
Okay.
You can use more memory. And it is going to, you know, it's going to be supported for a while yet. So if you're going to go new, you know, since it is a new computer, why not, you know, just go totally new and go to, because, yes, 7 is a little different than Windows XP. Yes, but that's strictly in the control panel that, as I see it.
Okay.
They rearrange things. But the basic way that you load programs, click on them, you know, the folders and all that other stuff, that's still the same.
Okay. And will I need to get a new driver? I mean, would I be able to use my old HP LaserJet 6L?
Yes, yes, you can, sir. That's that's one advantage of Windows 7 over Vista. There are far more drivers that are backwards compatible with Windows 7 than there were with Vista.
Oh, that's great to know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for all your wonderful help.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. It's it is that season, and a lot of people are looking to buy new machines. It is very difficult and will be continually more difficult to find computers with XP on them. But Windows 7 really does work very well, and certainly when it comes to drivers and stuff like that, Windows 7 beats Vista all hollow. All right, our next caller, and your number two, Linda from Greece. You're number two this week. You're slipping here, Linda.
I tried, guys. I tried, but you know. Did you all have a nice Thanksgiving?
Magnificent. How was yours?
Too much, as usual.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, I just got a netbook with XP on it, and it's giving me an SD card with programs on it. Once I put the programs on, is there any way to take programs from my desktop, put them on the SD card, and then put them in the netbook?
Probably not. The deal with programs, of course, is that when they are installed, they add things into the registry, and many of them won't run without those things added into the registry. So you can't just move a series of files from one machine to another because registry entries won't be there. So you really need to be you really need to reinstall from scratch to make sure that programs will run. Some will, but very, very few of them. Windows lives and dies by the registry. More often dies, of course, but lives and dies by the registry. And without that, those registry entries, most programs simply won't run.
To answer that guy's question, I just got a Gateway netbook from HSN, and it has Windows XP on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was asking about a netbook.
You see that a lot on the shopping channels. The stuff they're selling are quite often older models, and that's where you would still get something with XP on it. But some of the vendors are still selling XP with their netbooks too.
Yep.
Steve, quick question for you: how come with the latest update on iTunes it freezes all the time now?
It doesn't. So there must be something wrong in your system.
When it freezes, do you get any sort of error message?
It says not. I go into the Windows Task Manager, says not responding, and I don't. And I've got rid of it, put it on again, you know. And I dance the tango all the time, so I know, you know. So,
is this on the netbook?
No, it's on my computer.
Yeah, there's something wrong somewhere that's going to be hard to find exactly where that is without taking a look at it.
Are we taking a break, Dave? Is that your subtle way of telling us we're taking a break? No, we're just
the
listening
music
to a little
playing.
Jazz. Congratulations, it's a little extra jazz.
A little extra jazz, yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, it's
we didn't touch anything.
That's that automation computer. Rob's in there screwing around, isn't he? No, Rob.
No. I mean, literally, I was just looking over at the the meters.
So don't look there again. But Linda, it sounds like there's something wrong somewhere. You said you've tried uninstalling iTunes and reinstalling it?
Yeah.
It's possible you got a bad download. You could try uninstalling, re-download it, and reinstall. Or it could be conflicting with something else in your computer, which is going to be tricky to find.
Does it freeze when the iPod is connected or just when you start it up?
I had the iPod Touch. I thought it was that, so I reset everything. Sometimes it doesn't. It just, you know, I just thought maybe because I've been reading on the forums for Apple support that a lot of people are having with the latest update, and I just wondered.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can go back to the previous version and wait for the next update.
That won't let me. It says you've already got the newest update. You can't go back. I went, okay.
Then you haven't uninstalled it completely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, make sure you uninstall the whole thing. Use the Revo uninstaller if
I don't understand it.
It,
and I'm not about to try.
right. And you're on XP for that one?
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, I did Malware Bytes. I did the whole thing, and I got no problems with my computer.
It's probably just a regular conflict, mm-hmm. not a malware conflict.
Right. Where are the preferences kept?
I don't know on Windows.
Because my thought is that even though you want to install it, it may not kill the preferences because so many programs don't fully uninstall themselves. And so whatever those preferences are...
it's user library preferences on the Mac.
Right, but it may not kill those preferences.
Here, I found it. Documents and settings, username, application data, Apple, iTunes, and local settings, application data, computer, iTunes. So there's two different preference files you can try removing. And I'll post this link into the discussion group.
Steve will post the link for you, Linda. And what you want to do is go in and uninstall iTunes first.
Uh-huh.
Then, using that link, it will lead you to those two preference files.
Okay.
Remove those two preference files.
Because sometimes uninstalling just takes the program out, doesn't take your preferences.
Or maybe it takes one of those two preference files out, but not the other one.
Right.
So make sure you delete those two preference files after you do the uninstall.
Okay.
Then do a reinstall.
Because
it may well be
that... all this, so I don't have to worry about it.
There you go.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Good luck, Linda.
Bye.
One of the real problems that we often have with Windows programs is where they keep their specific preference things.
Yeah.
Sometimes they keep them in the registry. Sometimes they put them in their own directory. Sometimes
local settings folder and the application data folder, which are both invisible by default, so you can't even find them.
Right.
Unless you know what you're doing, which is probably the point. You shouldn't be messing in there unless you know what you're doing, unless there's a problem. And then you need to know what you're doing.
Right. All right, our next caller is Tom. Where are you calling from, Tom?
Greece.
Two in a row from Greece. What can we do for you?
Just a quick question on that Revo to uninstall programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you just use that and not use the uninstall feature on your Windows?
Yes, because all Windows does is basically turn off in the registry a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it still leaves all that baggage behind.
Which may be part of Linda's problem.
Yeah. Whereas if you use Revo to do any uninstalling, it will literally go into the registry, get rid of all those entries, plus in your directories, you know, if there's any folders or that type of stuff, it gets rid of that too.
Okay. So you don't have to even consider the uninstall feature.
You got it.
Okay. And you don't have to worry about any hidden viruses or adware on this Revo program?
Nope.
Okay. One other quick question. Sometimes when I shut down, I get a notice. It says end program, and then it says O on it, or DDE. Do you have any idea what that could be?
ORDDE?
No, it's two things. One, it says end program dash O, or zero, and there's another one that says end program dash DDE.
Well, that's telling you the name of the programs that are trying to crash.
Yes, I was wondering what that was.
DDE is Dynamic Data Exchange, and it's how Microsoft communicates between applications.
Okay.
Not entirely certain. What that sounds like is that Windows has not yet finished talking to itself.
Okay.
Before it shuts down. Now, how long do you wait before you do something about that?
It's just in the shutdown process, and then it goes off. And
yeah, all right. Then it's really not necessarily something to worry about.
Okay.
The theoretically, what's happening there is that Windows has, in some way, not finished talking to itself.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily bad or evil. Make sure, of course, that you've danced the security tango.
Yes.
But if the machine is clean, then it just means some process is a little slow in shutting down.
Okay.
Not necessarily a big deal.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you.
That's the tough part about Windows. Windows is their error messages or their warning messages or even their information messages aren't really informative.
Except to the guy that wrote the program.
They're geek messages for geeks. And if you're not a geek, you're not getting those messages. So it's a little weird. But
a lot of times you can Google that error message and you'll find someone that says the answer, what that means, what it's supposed to, what you're supposed to do about it. In fact, was it last week we were talking about someone found, someone has translated the Microsoft End User License Agreement into plain English.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty interesting what's there. Yeah.
Did it make any sense?
Well, it makes sense if you're Microsoft. Basically, we have all the rights.
Microsoft.
Or do you need a law degree to decipher it?
Well, and that's what this guy is. He's a lawyer and he deciphered it into plain English for the average human being. So, it's an interesting thing. I think there's a link on our website today.
Yeah, we linked to it last week, yeah.
All right, listen, that music this time tells us we're going to take a little break. If you're on the line, like Joan is, please be patient. We'll get to you in a few moments. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton thanking you for becoming a member or renewing your membership to Jazz 90.1. Because of you, we'll continue to broadcast great jazz music you've come to expect, as well as continuing our online streaming, live studio concerts, and special programs you can't hear anywhere else. If you've not yet made that pledge of support to Jazz 90.1, you still have time. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. or by calling 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can browse and select from the great thank you gifts we're offering at the various donation levels like CDs and DVDs and great Jazz 90.1 clothing items online. Thank you for supporting your jazz station. Member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Hi, Mom. I'm heading out with the kids for seasonal flu vaccines.
But you're so healthy.
That might not protect us. We know someone whose healthy nephew died last year from the flu.
That's awful. I get my vaccine every year. It makes sense for all of you, too.
Seasonal influenza is a serious and sometimes deadly disease. Health officials recommend vaccination for all children 6 months through 18 years. Get fluent. Learn the flu facts. Visit PreventChildhoodInfluenza.org.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Shall we just go right to the phone? Poor Joan's been waiting forever.
Yeah.
Welcome,
yeah.
Joan. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rush, New York.
Rush, New York.
Yay. Yes.
You're picking us up that far south?
Yay.
Some people don't even think we're in Monroe County.
Well, you guys are in the sunny south. It's got to be, what, 85 degrees and warm and sunny when you're laying out on the beach today?
At least, yes, when we're walking Mendon Ponds, right. Sweating.
Walking on Mendon Ponds.
Yeah,
so
it's about frozen. Right. It's about right. What can we do for you, Joan?
Yesterday, we got a message after, I believe it was AVG ran, and it's saying resident shield alert, multiple threat detection file, see Windows System 32, Win log on, exe, infection, Trojan horse, PSW generic 7.aub. Then it says result. Object is white. And then when I put my arrow on it, it says system file that should not be removed. So what we've got, and I can't get rid of it.
Have you tried
critical system file? Thank
right.
You.
Running Malwarebytes?
I haven't run malware. I've run a super antivirus, but I didn't run malware. Will
the
that
problem,
do it?
Well, the problem is this. It's the login file.
Mm-hmm.
If you just delete it or remove it, which Malwarebytes will do, you can't log in anymore.
And sometimes you can't clean a virus because it's infected a Windows file.
And what you need to do is...
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Somebody, I need to find... If this is something I have to do, I have to write it down.
Well, what you're going to need to do is to pull out that login file, which is probably called login.exe or winlogin.exe, from the original CDs. And I can't lead you directly to that because I don't know where it is. So my suggestion is you take it to a reputable dealer, explain to him what the problem is. Feel free also to explain to him what the fix is and have them do it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can try running Malwarebytes, and if you're lucky, it will work and remove the problem. And if you're unlucky, Windows won't ever launch again.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wouldn't necessarily trust it. Yeah. What Malwarebytes does very, very well is remove infections. What it doesn't do very, very well, or I should say at all, is replace that infected file with the real file that you need.
Especially since some infections do infect real files rather than just the file is only an infection.
Right.
And that's what's tricky about a lot of these.
So you need to take that to a reputable dealer who can then take bring your original install CD with you.
Okay.
So that they can then extract the correct file from the cab files, the cabinet files, as Microsoft calls them, and replace whichever is the infected file with an uninfected version after they've cleaned your machine. The best way to do it, of course, is for them to take the drive out, clean it, make note of all the files that are removed, and if any of them are, in fact, system files, then go into the original CDs, extract those files, and replace them in the right places.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Not going to be tremendously fast and probably, therefore, not tremendously inexpensive. But it is doable, and it will work.
Will the hard drive need to be wiped?
Likely not.
No.
Okay.
But a lot of places will say that's the easiest thing to do, and technically they're correct. It is easiest to erase the hard drive.
They're just
for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Not for you.
The other thing that you can do, of course, is to back up all of your files. But if depending on what the infection is, it may be carried along with those backed up files. So one thing that you can do, and this is something, again, that you want to have help with. You get to another machine, have them clean it, have them then, after it's cleaned, back up all of your data, then wipe out the drive and install Windows all over again and put all your data back.
Most of the time, though, I find in our shop, we're able to turn around and at least pull their hard drive out. That's why we need the machine in the shop. We literally take it out of their machine so it's not booting to it.
Right.
Nothing gets accessed. We're booting off of our hard drive. We put that as a second drive and clean it that way.
That's my point, yes.
And we can put it back
Dave,
in.
Dave, I'm going to be taking it to you anyway, so.
Well, there you are. Now you'll know. Bring it to him and he'll handle it for you.
Thank you.
All right, Joan, thanks.
You're
Have fun
welcome.
In Sunny Rush.
But okay.
Bye. You know, way down south is there.
See, I like going down 390 and crossing over that Rush, West Rush Road.
Did that sound
so
like...
So there's a Rush and a West Rush, and they put a road between them.
Sure.
Did that sound funny in your headphones?
Yeah, like it did.
A little bit, yeah.
Like a tin can?
Yeah, it did.
It's
clearly not necessarily her phone or whatever.
Well, that boar's been doing weird things today. We'll see what happens with the next caller.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. But that's becoming more and more frequently the correct way to fix a virus, which means that people can't, you know, to take it out, put it in another machine and do it that way, which means it's becoming less and less likely that people can fix viruses themselves. They have to take it to somebody else who's got the capability of making it a second hard drive that won't boot and won't infect their first hard drive. Dave's got hard drives that are not writable. Right, they've already got whatever. I knew a guy who actually installed a switch right in the front of his computer. He could set it to write or not write, so he could fix other people's stuff.
A lot of the forensic agencies will have read-only drive chassis, so you cannot write to the disk, because that's the first thing the defendant's lawyers say Well, you know, you changed the disk. It wasn't, I didn't put it on there.
Right.
But yeah, so, and a lot of the antivirus companies have made bootable CDs. So, you know, you, so you buy your Norton antivirus and it comes with a bootable CD, right, which is great when the CD was written, but you have to update that CD every day.
Right.
Or at least just before you run it, so that it has all the latest definitions on it, which means you have to burn a new CD because you can't update a CD.
Right, which means you've got to do it on a machine that you know is clean. That's what I always say in the Security Tango. Download these right now and burn them to a CD or install them now or whatever, whatever, because that's the only way you're assured. Download them, install them, and then update them. That's the only way you're assured to get the latest and best stuff. So it's an interesting little problem, and I'm not entirely certain how you how you get around it anymore. You pretty much have to take your machine to somebody.
Stop using Windows?
Well, and in addition to this, for those of you who want viruses, who are really looking to get infected, let me give you just a few ways you can do this. I got this actually from a Computer World article. It's very cute. How to get infected. I've got five tips on how to become infected. Tip number one, open every attachment you get from everybody in your email, including strangers.
Yep.
Click on all the embedded links in email messages.
Yep.
Don't verify that a message came from someone you actually knew. Just click like you're a robot. Click on everything.
Yep.
That way you'll get keystroke loggers, rootkits, Trojan horses, backdoors, and then the hackers have access to your machine. So just click on anything that comes in an email. Just click on it. Even if
And you know what that means, though?
Particularly if it comes from somebody you know. Just click right on it.
You know what that means for Steve
but
and I?
But there's more of those. You don't interrupt yet. There's plenty more.
Yep.
If you get an email message from Dr. or Mrs. Miriam Abaka or Dr. Mboto Ngege, their names are used by many hackers who have close friends and relatives in Nigeria, who've recently been widowed or deposed in a military coup. They need your help to get their millions of dollars out of the country. Absolutely answer them. Give them your bank account information. Give them your login information. Give them your date of birth, your mother's maiden name, so that they can wire that reward directly into your checking account just in time for the holidays. Tip number three. Definitely install a peer-to-peer file sharing network. Configure it so that all of your files, including your bank account, your social security and credit card numbers, along with copies of your mortgage and tax return documents, are easily available to anyone on the same P2P network. In fact, the good news here is you don't have to configure it that way, because that's the way they're automatically configured. So install a P2P network and your entire hard drive is immediately available to everybody else on that network. Tip number four, use passwords that are easy to crack. Use clever sequences such as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Really?
I use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the number on my luggage. A, B, C, D, E, F, or first name dot last name. Use those easy-to-use passwords. Definitely keep the default passwords on any subject, on any program that you install. Keep your passwords short. Don't mix alphabet and numerals, and definitely use the same password for all your accounts. Tip number five,
wait
and this
minute,
is the last
one.
We forgot
one on that one, though.
What?
Glue all your passwords to the underside of your keyboard.
Oh, right, absolutely.
Post-it notes on the front of the monitor.
On the front of your monitor. Or, if you know, to give them just that momentary challenge, post-it notes on the inside of the file drawer.
Ooh,
yeah, that one's real secure. And definitely avoid installing the latest anti-malware tools and security updates. You know, keeping the operating system patched and antivirus and anti-tools updated makes life hard for hackers, and we don't want to do that. So follow those five tips. You will be guaranteed to be captured long before Christmas. So all of your Christmas shopping now that you do online will be captured by the bad guys, and they'll have access to all your data.
Well,
it's
if they
really
run up,
the thing to do for the holidays.
If they run up all your credit cards, then you don't have to worry about shopping anymore.
That's right. That's right. So
they've done it for you.
Are you making life easy for hackers this season? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, if you're outside the 585 area code, give us a call toll-free at 800-790-0415.
That goes along with that poll result we had a few weeks ago about something like 30% of people click on spam knowing that it's spam.
Yep.
Because they want to see what's going to happen. They're interested in the fake ads they're getting. Then they just like clicking on things.
Yep. Let them. I mean, it's just more work for you and I.
That's exactly right. Our next caller is Henry. Where are you calling from, Henry?
Brighton.
Brighton, what's up?
Well, I'm having some problems with my Mozilla applications, in particular Firefox and Thunderbird. The problem mostly, I think, is with Firefox. When I click on a link, it's slow to load. Sometimes I have to click on it several times before it loads. There's a progress bar on the lower right-hand corner that shows how far it's been loading, and sometimes it'll stop right in the middle. If I click refresh or just click on the link again several times, it might complete the connection.
Yeah, every time you click on the link, it starts over.
Yeah. The major problem I'm having, though, is trying when I have a link in a Thunderbird message, I'm really having a lot of problems where the link does not complete. I can try it once again, clicking on it several times, but more often than not, it just
And this is
hangs.
Any link to anywhere, anytime.
What's that?
And this is any link to anywhere, anytime.
Certainly within Thunderbird, I would say that's true, yes. If I'm just in Firefox, then I have more success. There are some links where I can get to fairly easily, like New York Times and Wall Street Journal and things like okay, that.
Ironically, I just Googled Firefox links don't work, and the first hit is links to local pages don't work in Mozilla. I click on that link and it's not working.
Excellent. there's a couple of things going on here. Usually in the lower left-hand corner, it will tell you what it's trying to load.
Yes.
If what you see down there is addclick.net or doubleclick.net, we've been seeing that DoubleClick has been sporadically horribly slow the last few days. And a lot of websites use them as their ad agency, you know, the place where they get their advertising from.
Okay.
And they've been horribly slow. If that's what you see down there when it's slowed or stopped, there's nothing you can do about that. That is entirely the other end.
Okay.
If what you're seeing is that the site itself is slow, it's hard now to know whether it's that site or it's a problem you've got. Yeah. One thing I might suggest you do is definitely dance the security tango to make sure that your system is clean and that your network connection isn't being used by the bad guys to the extent where you can't use it yourself.
One other thing to try is to start Firefox in safe mode, which doesn't load any other plugins and extra things and just gives you a very bare web browser and see if the problem goes away, and then you'll know it's related to a plugin.
Right. Yeah. One of the beautiful things about Firefox is the massive numbers of plugins you can have. One of the really bad things about Firefox is that many of the plugins are not that good.
I try to use as few of them as possible. I have tried the Tango, of course, and I've also tried reinstalling Firefox on several occasions, but that hasn't made any difference.
Yeah. Well, definitely check when it slows down like that. See in the lower left-hand corner where it stopped. If you regularly see things like add click or double click or add net, you know, something that obviously looks like a network, an ad network.
Yeah.
There's really nothing you can do about that. They're just overly swamped because of the holidays, and they're apparently, you know, God bless them, they're not making enough money to put enough
hardware resources. Well, I have two machines. One of them is running XP. The other one is running Windows 7. And it's the XP machine is giving me most of the problems. The Windows 7 machine is pretty quick on most sites.
If you went to exactly the same site on both machines at the same time, do you find that one gets through and the other doesn't?
I would say yes.
Then there definitely is a problem with the XP machine, and it could be, oh my golly, now it needs to be looked at by somebody, because it could be the network card, it could be memory, it could be any one of 50 things.
You can do a diagnostic and give you a better idea.
Yeah.
And probably save a lot of time and headaches and headbanging.
If you do a Windows safe boot with networking and everything works, then it's something in your software. If it still doesn't work there, it's probably hardware.
Okay. I'll give that one a try, too.
Okie doke.
Thank thank you for your help.
Yep, thank you, Henry. Sorry we weren't able to simply answer your question.
Most of the time when I see that, I've just, oh, the internet's full. I'll try again in a minute.
You're right.
Which is why when you keep clicking refresh, eventually it works, because maybe it took a different path and the server it went through that way is
right,
working.
Right. As I was saying to him, yeah. You know, if you hit the same site on both machines simultaneously, and then I thought, well, but they're going to take two different paths anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But, yeah, the reality is always watch that lower left corner, because that will tell you where the thing stopped. And I find it stops so very often on that,
yep.
One of the doubleclick.net or add.
One of the tricks we talked about in the past, which is kind of tricky for novice users, is you can put doubleclick.net in your host file and point it to null. So then it never tries to get to doubleclick and pages right. Load faster.
Right, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
On every machine, yeah. You then get an error. I actually pointed to another one of my, I pointed to my web server.
Yeah.
So that it'll actually come back with an answer immediately that says file not found. So then I get a little not found message in that ad, and it's actually a little easier. All right, we are going to take another break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton thanking you for becoming a member or renewing your membership to Jazz 90.1. Because of you, we'll continue to broadcast great jazz music you've come to expect, as well as continuing our online streaming, live studio concerts, and special programs you can't hear anywhere else. If you've not yet made that pledge of support to Jazz 90.1, you still have time. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. or by calling 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can browse and select from the great thank you gifts we're offering at the various donation levels like CDs and DVDs and great Jazz 90.1 clothing items online. Thank you for supporting your jazz station. Member supported, Jazz 90.1.
I'm Steve Wozniak, and you're listening to Sound Bites.
See what I mean?
You're right. I'm really not the worst trumpet player in the world. Thanks, Dad.
Just keep practicing, son. You'll get it.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Linda Wildman. Please join me middays, 10 to noon on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 41 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And before we go to our news, we will go to the phones and we will talk to Terry. Where are you calling from, Terry?
Penfield, New York.
Ah, lovely Penfield. And what can we do to make you happy today?
Yeah, guys, I keep getting this warning that states Internet Explorer that says having a problem, either debug or close.
Yeah, yes.
Just kicking me out of everything all the time.
Internet Explorer is a piece of crap. Don't
yeah.
use it.
Yeah, basically the way you fix that is you install Firefox.
Right.
Internet Explorer, what version of Windows are you using?
Not Foxfire?
XP.
And what version of Internet Explorer?
Don't say 6.
6.
Yeah.
Yep.
6 is known to be the worst pile of manure on the planet.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm just calling it like I see it. You can upgrade to 7. That will help. You can upgrade to 8, I think, under XP.
Mm-hmm.
That will help. But you're way better off going to Firefox.
Well, if he does Service Pack 3, that'll automatically take him up to version 8.
Right, right,
right.
Installs
part of it.
The simple reality is IE6 is dung, and you shouldn't use it.
Don't use it at all.
And it's sort of general about all older browsers, that the web has evolved and moved on, and older browsers just don't work well.
But here's the one thing, though, Terry, and I don't want to defend Microsoft by any means. I know. but I have to. Some websites, I know there's some banking sites, still require you because they have lazy programmers that want to, you know, just go along, and they demand that you use Internet Explorer. There's just no way of getting around it. So,
but even then, you don't want 6.
No, yeah. He wants to go up to Service Pack 3, which will put 8 on there for him. He'll be in good shape. But still, only use it when you have to, is right. What I'm saying.
And right. Sometimes even sites like that, you can change your user agent, and it still works.
Right. But so anyway, there you are, Terry. That's our deal.
One little question here now. I think when my wife tried to get in her, we switched users this morning, she got the exact same warning under that Mozilla Firefox, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Then in that case, please let me suggest that you dance the security tango.
Okay.
You've got bigger problems. It may be hardware. How old is your machine?
It's about 5-6 years old now.
Dance the security tango. But then it could well be a hardware problem, particularly if the Tango comes up clean, okay. In which case, let me suggest, again, you use
MemTest
at MemTest86.com.
MemTest,
short for memory tester.
Yeah.
86, MemTest86.com.
Okay.
And you can download an ISO, burn it to a bootable CD. Right, and then boot it and let it run. Now, that's going to take 24 hours, but it will thoroughly test your memory and tell you if the problem is RAM. For other tests, they're fairly specific to the motherboard, so that's when you have to take it to someone who can do hardware diagnostics on it.
Okay. Yeah, because I do on a regular basis malware bytes, you know, and I, you know, delete all the files and stuff, then run the malware bytes at least once a week. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's normally good news. In this case, that's kind of bad news because it then leads me to think it may be hardware.
Do you know what version of Firefox you're using also?
No, I don't.
Yeah, if it's the old version 2, you may run into the same problems.
3.5 is the latest.
Yeah. Okay. I actually found 3.5 to be a little slower than 3.0 on my machine because I've got an older machine, so I'm sticking with 3.0 for now.
Okay, so it's probably just about time to bring it in and have it checked, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
I'll try to detangle first, and if not, I'll bring it in.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Terry.
See, that's what leaves a lot of users with old computers and older operating systems is you can't upgrade to the new browser because you need a new OS, and your hardware won't take the new OS, and you're out of luck.
Can we do the rant?
What?
Rant.
Oh, now? You want to do it now? All right. All right, kiddies, there it is. It's that time once again. Put on your footy jammies. Grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style, in a semicircle around the rocking chair. Because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Yep. Oh, I had to lead into this one because it's a perfect segue.
All righty, here we go.
You know, we were just talking about older operating systems. Well, I got news for Skippy! You got to be, I know these are tough times, and the last thing you want to do is get a new computer, but you know what? Windows 98 is truly dead, and I'm sorry I can't do anything for you. You know, it is just the hard reality of it. I mean, we literally had these machines on the bench. Dan goes, oh, wait a minute, I got an old one. I got Windows, and he ducked when he said it.
Yeah, I bet.
The operating system on that one. And I go to boot up this one, and it's got Windows 98. Not even first service pack.
Nice.
Original.
Nice.
And this thing is, I could walk down to the corner in 590 and come back up while the thing was booting. The thing is so old. It was just caked with crud inside.
And that slows it down significantly.
I had to put on a paper mask.
We like you better that way, by the way. Can you wear one here? Sorry, just go ahead. I'm sorry, beg your pardon.
I'll put a big smiley face on it. But anyways.
Paint a little animal nose and whiskers and stuff.
Yeah, I could do that for the holidays.
A middle finger. But yes, it's the older computer's old. Yes, it's been working fine for 10 years, but you can't do anything new with it.
He was all ticked off because, it was the second time he's been in.
In 10 years?
In 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, I cleaned it all off and got the best I could. And at that point in time, and this is what gets me frustrated, it's like, hello, what part of the first conversation didn't you understand when I said, don't do anything with this. It's not worth it. It is junk. It is so old, I can't put any protection on it.
Yep.
I mean, the conversation, just because, you know, it's not like we say sometimes you can call another tech support person and get a different answer. Sorry, on this one, it's going to be the same answer.
You know,
it is what it is.
Let me tell you something. I kind of sympathize with that. I'm driving a car that's 12 years old. And I would love to keep this car for another 10 years. I completely admit that. I don't want to spend the money for a new car. On the other hand, I have recently replaced several major parts, including the blower motor and a couple of other things. And I'm realizing that I am nickel and diming, hundreds of dollars myself, into an early grave trying to keep this car rolling. I need to buy a new car. The same thing is true of a computer. When a computer is, what, now 12 years old, 98, that's when I bought my car. Mm-hmm. When that car, well, it's a 98, so it's only 11 years old. I beg your pardon. When a car is 11 years old, or an operating system is 11 years old, it really is time to move on. Give it a decent burial, put a picture on your mantelpiece, save the steering wheel or the keyboard, but then move on. It really is past time.
You really don't want to get more than two versions behind, or you get left way behind, and then often can't get the new
version.
Oh,
right, and 11 years in computer years is like you're still driving a Model T. You know what? We go faster than 30 now.
Guess
what? And you can buy them in colors.
Here's the other part that I didn't mention.
Yeah.
It's a Pentium 2, and he wanted to know, would it help if he put XP on it?
Yes. Yes, it would. Because then it would never boot up and he'd have to buy a new computer. That, by definition, would help.
XP, new RAM, which requires new motherboard, bigger hard drive, better video card.
I told him.
He probably can't even keep the chassis because it doesn't have
what?
The 12V power supply.
It only had a 20 gig hard drive in it. And hello.
You know what, though? What a great candidate for a version of Linux.
Yeah.
Put Linux on it and it'll run. It still won't be snappy because it's old hardware. But he'd be able to run Linux on it, and he wouldn't have to worry about upgrading.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was hoping for different answers, and I think he was a little ticked off at me. But you know what? I'm not going to lie to a person. You know, I'm going to tell it like it is. And sometimes maybe I might lose a customer that because, you know, I tell him, no, I won't put any money into that. You know, why waste it?
Right.
You know, I just won't do it. And, you know, call me dumb, you know, I sit there, you know.
But we understand it. For some people, putting $200 into your computer is better than $1,000 for buying a new one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No,
but it's not worth it.
But if the equipment is worth it, I'm not going to sit there and make, like you said, oh, yeah, well, we can put a new motherboard, new case, new processor, new memory. Oh, geez, there's a whole new machine.
Going back to cars, when I was a kid, we had this old Dodge that every time it broke down, you know, Dad said, oh, we should sell that and get rid of it. But we can't sell it for anything because it's broken down, so we might as well fix it up. And then once it's fixed up, well, it's fixed up. We don't need to sell it now.
Yeah, right.
that went on for a couple years. I took that car to college.
Over on the IRC chat, Drock is saying some cars last, though. Yeah, Drock, I have a Ford. Okay, it's an 11-year-old Ford. It's kind of time to put two in the engine block.
Unlimited technology from across the universe, and you drive around in a Ford POS.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, kiddies. That's it. Time to rinse out your hot
cocoa mugs. There's great deals on
cheap
computers.
Get out of your footy jammies. We're going to give Uncle Dave his shots, put them back on the shelf for another week, and hopefully we won't have to listen to him again for a week. He'll be nice and rested up. In the meantime, here's a speaking.
I had to get that out early. I apologize.
No, that's completely understandable. Speaking of Internet Explorer and the problems it has, hackers working on the open-source Metasploit project have spiffed up a zero-day attack on Microsoft's Internet Explorer. A zero-day attack means it's out in the wild the day it's created and there is no fix, making it more reliable. The malware, browser. And more likely to be used by criminals. Security experts have been worried about the flaw since it was first disclosed on the BugTrack mailing list on Friday, but the original demonstration code was unreliable and has not been used in real-world attacks. The Metasploit exploit that was released last night is much more reliable against certain attacks than the initial exploit, according to Ben Greenbaum, who's a senior research manager with Symantec. As of Wednesday morning, Symantec has not seen any of the exploits used in the internet-based attacks, but security experts say this type of code is for a very popular hacking technique called a drive-by attack. Victims are tricked into visiting websites that contain malicious code where they are then infected via the browser vulnerability. Criminals also place this type of code on hacked websites in order to spread their attacks. Last Monday, Microsoft did issue a public security advisory on the flaw, offering some workarounds for the issue. The best workaround, of course, is using Internet Explorer. But Microsoft didn't mention that one. Microsoft's latest IE8 browser is not yet affected by the bug, or is not affected by this version of the bug, which has to do with the way IE retrieves certain cascading style sheet objects. Concerned IE users can upgrade their browser, disable JavaScript, or, of course, move to Firefox or Chrome. Are you still using Internet Explorer? Why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. So many exploits hit Internet Explorer. You can one of the ways to cut down on the number of attacks that will work on you is to simply use a different web browser, whether it's Firefox or Chrome or Opera. You can use a different web browser and be at least a little bit safer.
Mm-hmm. And you got to be, it's a constant battle. You know, folks are sitting there always saying, well, you know, this is such a pain. Well, yeah, it is. But you know what? There's still a lot of good out there. You know, and I think it still outweighs what crud you have to put up with. But just use a little due diligence.
Right. Yeah, we're used to not walking down dark alleys with $20 bills hanging out, mm-hmm. out of your pocket. You're used to not being safe in the real world.
A little common sense. It's all it really takes, you know. But again, you know, I think you see it too, Steve, all the time. You know, a lot of folks come in and sit there and say, you know, this is getting to be a little ridiculous. You know, I just had it in here 8 months ago, and now I'm bringing it back in for the same thing.
8 months?
Well, you haven't used it much. That's a big one. I just had it in. We looked the records up, and it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've had that in too. Yeah. And I say, well, you do? Well, when I get the time to. Yeah. No, that is not.
I can't be without my computer. Well, wait till it fails completely, and then you'll be without mm-hmm. it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know what? People don't ever, at least I don't see them arguing this, and I've been in my mechanics a lot lately. I don't see people arguing that way with the mechanic. They get disappointed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the car's broken down. You got to leave it. Oh, okay. I really hate to. I really need to get around, but what else am I going to do? Well, but with you guys, they argue.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people have a second car. We kind of jokingly say this, but you should have a second computer too.
Even if it's just a netbook, just for email and web.
Especially for business users. We hear this all the time. I run my business on this. I can't be without it. Where's your backup computer?
Steve?
Right.
How about the one that says it's a business computer and they let their kids play on it?
Yep. Oh, that's the dumbest thing on earth. I'm sorry. But that's not.
It's the business computer and their personal computer and
mm-hmm.
their game computer and their everything. Mm-hmm. I understand computers are expensive, but especially for a business, what happens if the house burns down? You know, what happens if there's a fire or a flood? You need a second computer somewhere else.
We provide laptops for our faculty, but we don't let them be administrators so they can't install anything on it. And every once in a while, we get a faculty member who wants to be an administrator. And when we dig into why, it's because they want to be able to put their kids' games or their wife's email or something else on it. No.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and particularly since, you know, faculty members make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They can afford their own computer. This is for work. This is a work computer. You don't get to use it for play. And we save a lot of heartache and a lot of problems because we don't let them be administrators so they can't install extra stuff.
Well, they didn't buy it anyways.
That's exactly right. You buy it, you do what you want with it. We bought it, we do what we want with it. That's the way it works.
And one of the things we recommend is upgrade to a new computer before the old one dies, and then the old one is your backup.
Exactly.
Or the new one is your backup. You know, so now you've got two computers that are working and functional.
And if you buy a new one before the old one dies, you can take your time setting up the new one, making it identical to the old one, making sure all the pieces and parts work the same, and then move over to it.
I was hoping it would last another year.
Yeah,
it didn't.
Yeah, you know, It's just getting into that habit, yeah. You know, and it's just like it in the workplace, too. You know, a lot of folks will sit there and they get upset when the administrator comes around and starts, you know, putting stuff on their, you know, taking stuff out of the computer. It's like, well, this is my computer.
Right.
No, did you pay for it? You know, we go the whole round of there, too, because I've got one employer that wants me to put on some software to stop their employees from surfing the net and going to other spots that they really don't want them to.
Right.
Because it's not work-related.
Drock, again, made an interesting point in the IRC chat. He said, would you let your 16-year-old who's freshly passed the road test use your company car? You're brighter than that.
Yep.
You know, so... Yeah, it's an interesting set of problems, and I understand, you know, you want to
give them their own user. If you do want to let your kids use your computer, give them their own username so they don't screw up your
name with
your
account. And make them not an administrator, yeah. So when not if, but when they get a virus, it has a tougher time taking over your machine. Not that it can't, but it will. Buy the kids their own computer, let them screw it up as much as they want, and be done.
Yeah, really. You know, and it protects your stuff.
Right. Chris Reich in the IRC chat is saying, tell your customers with Windows 98 to go to Lepecki. We'll get them on Linux. You can see that in the calendar section of soundbites.org. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Driving less? Vacationing close to home? These are things a lot of us do to use less gas. Some people are doing even more. They're working with local planners to create communities where jobs, schools, and public transportation are walkably close. Places where leaving the car at home is part of the plan. Learn more at planning.org. That's planning.org.
If you own or run a business, consider promoting your business on Jazz 90.1 through underwriting. When you underwrite the programming on Jazz 90.1, you join with our members in supporting great jazz radio. With a few tasteful statements about your business, thousands of Jazz 90.1 listeners will know who you are, how to reach you, and that you care about great jazz programming. Underwriting is easy and very reasonable. It's good business to do business with Jazz 90.1. For more information on our great underwriting packages, please contact station manager Rob Linton at 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660 or email sales at jazz901.org.
Hey, parent, pick up your kids without embarrassing them with OMGPS, a navigation system that tells you how far away you need to park when you pick them up.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 2 minutes after the hour, you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe as
good
we
old Harry Lake.
Jump happily into our second hour here on the 28th of November, Anno Domini 2009.
And now the days are ticking away and the countdown clock starts for the Christmas.
And it's okay with me. It is. You know, one holiday at a time. We had Halloween, then we had Thanksgiving. Now I'll listen to Christmas music.
Stores didn't know. They went from Halloween, Christmas, to Christmas.
Right. Well, that's because they can't make money at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a, you know, buy presents or buy candy or buy, they just, all they do is buy food. You know, big deal. But yeah, so it's finally time for Christmas, and of course on our website we're asking you what you'd like for Christmas. So let us know. Interesting. this was a great and it seems fairly self-serving article that I read. Windows 7 passed the 5% market share milestone last week, which puts it of only temporarily above the total market share of all versions of OS 10. According to a web measurement firm. Last Saturday and Sunday, Windows 7 powered an estimated 5.25% of all computers that were online those days, according to Internet Metrics vendor Net Applications. The two-day average of 5.07 was higher than the 5% of the market share that Net Applications set Apple's operating system average for that for the week of November 15 to 21. It's safe to say that Windows 7's daily share did peak above Mac's weekly share, said Vince Vizicaro, executive vice president at Net Applications. Vizicaro said his company's not yet compiled daily averages for Mac OS X, something that would be necessary to compare Windows 7 weekend numbers. And this goes on and on to talk about the way that Windows is, you know, Windows 7 is overcoming whatever, whatever. And it's a little disingenuous because this only measures the sites that Net Applications follows,
yeah,
right?
Sort of
which isn't a lot of them and probably isn't Apple. You know, if you were to follow the sites that are strictly Mac only, you'd get a much higher Mac percentage than PC percentage.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're following, for example, Microsoft.com, shockingly, you will get a much higher percentage of Windows machines than Apple machines. And many people who buy machines, certainly everybody, it's no secret, people buy a lot more non-Mac machines than Mac machines. And they all come with Windows 7 now. So every new machine that comes out is going to get online with Windows 7, even if the only reason you're getting online is to download Linux. So... it's no, this, I don't even know what this says. Is that Marie? Merrick, it says Merrick. I don't know if that was a name.
So
or...
what would be interesting is to see something like Google, which is such a generic website that virtually every user goes to see what their percentages are. But
right.
Then how many people have changed their user agent so it doesn't say what it really is anyway?
Right, exactly. All right, so our question for you, have you moved to Windows 7? Are you planning on it? Give us a call, 966-JAZZ, 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Mark did. Mark, where are you calling from?
Wonderful Albion, New York.
Albion, New York. How are things in Albion?
Well, a little overcast and breezy.
That's all right.
But otherwise okay.
So far you're not feet deep in snow, so that's all right.
No, not yet.
All right. What can we do for you?
Well, yesterday I switched over to Firefox.
Oh, good for you.
And I do like it. However, I don't know how to access email. I don't have anything I can find on the toolbar for
Firefox is a web
email.
Browser. It's not an email client.
Right. It doesn't do by itself email. What were you using for email?
Outlook Express.
Okay. Outlook Express will still work, but you'll have to get it from the start menu. Alternately, you can also switch to Thunderbird.
Much better.
Which is the Mozilla equivalent of Internet Explorer of
Outlook
Express, and just like Firefox picked up all your email, picked up all your bookmarks from IE, Thunderbird would pick up. Thunderbird would pick up all your email from Outlook Express. But Outlook Express still exists on your hard drive, and all you have to do is use the start menu to find it rather than having a link that's already built into Internet Explorer.
Okay.
You could add a link to Outlook Express as a bookmark to
right.
a file in Firefox if you wanted to.
But that you don't, well, you know, you can also just open it up and have it right there.
If you've made the switch to Firefox anyways, you might as well go all the way and go to Thunderbird, and Thunderbird has better junk control.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like the way to go.
Yeah, because you can, without even viewing an email, there's a button, you know it's junk, over there on the side. You can just click on it. It marks it as junk. So anything else coming in under that particular name will then just automatically go to the trash for you.
Oh, okay. Also, last week I had called the program regarding a problem I was having trying to install a zone alarm, and where it would go through, essentially initialize everything. And after I'd go through the license agreement, then it would say I didn't have access to make the required system configuration modifications, and that I should rerun the installation from an administrator's account. And I am logged in as owner, but I also then you had suggested that there could be a conflict with AVG. I'm running AVG 8.5, and to shut that off. And the only thing I can see in there is that I can control would be the resident shield. Now, does that shut everything off when I turn that off?
It doesn't shut everything off, but it shuts the part of AVG that scans in mm-hmm. real time on the yep. fly everything that's trying to go by.
Okay. Even with that shut off, I still wind up with the same problem trying to install the zone alarm.
There might be something else that's conflicting with it, you know. Try Komodo.
Yeah, I was just about to say, personalfirewall.komodo.com, and that's C-O-M-O-D-O.
It's another good one.
It's free. There is a free firewall there. There's also an antivirus, but I don't know that that's free.
Mm. One thing you could try is uninstall AVG completely, and then install Zone Alarm, and then install AVG, so Zone Alarm is there first, and that may help them work together.
Okay. Oh, that reminds me, too, of when using the Revo uninstaller,
mm-hmm.
Would it be recommended then to go for the deepest scan for anything that's left over?
That one, yes, you might want to.
And then when it does come back and finds all this other junk,
mm-hmm.
is it safe to just say, yes, get rid of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because it's only looking for that program.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough.
Thanks
so much, guys.
You're welcome.
Okie doke. One of the things that I've been looking at is the possibility of replacing Zone Alarm in the Security Tango with either Komodo or one or of two other products, and I haven't decided yet. So I'm looking at those. I'm evaluating them. I'm reading all the stuff I can find on the net, and I'll make a decision at some point.
Yeah, what happens a lot is we recommend really good, simple programs that do what we want them to. And then they start adding more and more features to compete in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they get creeping featureitis, and we find something better, leaner and smaller and
cleaner. Yeah, there's always, folks were saying, like we used to do Adware and SpyBot.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's malware and super anti-spyware. Doesn't mean 6 months from now that
it won't be something else.
Yeah, because
exactly.
The line is always being redrawn in the sand because these idiots... That's the only polite way I can say it here on the radio, to, block these people from getting into your machines and everything else. It's a constant battle of leapfrog. We put up a fence, they find a way around it. We put up another fence, they find their way around that.
Yep.
And that's the way it's been since I've been in computing.
It always amuses me when I do make a change to the Security Tango in any one of the three dances. Somebody always writes in to me and says, oh, my God, what happened? What's wrong with what I'm using? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I just found something that I think is now better.
Yep.
If you want to keep what you've got and it's working fine for you, don't get upset.
Yeah.
Keep using it, or you can switch to the new thing. I'm not the Pope. This is a choice, not an infallible dictum that I'm handing down. It's just these are the these are the choices.
No,
I could be the Pope. I could be the Pope. I'm a Catholic male. Oh, I'm married, so that... You can... No, you can... Wait a minute. Now, let me think.
You'd have to annul your marriage.
Let me think. The priesthood is
mm-hmm.
an impediment to marriage. Marriage is not an impediment to the priesthood. They certainly don't generally encourage married people to become priests, but I don't think it's actually illegal. It doesn't matter, at least in the Roman church.
How many years in seminary did you spend?
Exactly. Clearly not enough. Clearly too many if I even think about remembering that. All right, we're going to go on to our next caller before we get involved in a religious debate that doesn't involve Macs and PCs. Our next caller is Marty. Where are you calling from, Marty?
Hey, North Rochester, Shalott.
Shalott. Notice there is no R in Shalott.
Yeah.
What can we do for you, Marty?
Okay, speaking of religious wars and creeping featureitis, I got a copy of Ubuntu Linux from a friend of mine. Tried it on my son's computer and was kind of amazed at how much of it came up and ran. It seemed like all the drivers kind of worked. And so my general question is, I'd really like to give up on Windows. What am I going to miss if I go to Linux?
You're going to miss viruses. You're going to miss slowdowns. You're going to miss all kinds of malware. Here's the big thing. It depends on what you do with your computer. Mm-hmm. If there is a program that is Windows only that you must have, for example, if you use the Photoshop suite for your job, you can't live without Windows or a Mac.
There are graphic editors for Linux, but not specifically Photoshop.
And in fact, excellent graphic editors, but not specifically Photoshop, right? I have a couple of websites that I have to go to at work that absolutely require me to use an Oracle application that was written only for Windows. So I have a virtual machine on my Linux box that it's a Windows machine that runs that Oracle application. But for the general user, if, for example, you mostly do websites and email and things like that, Ubuntu will work great. You have some trouble with a lot of games. There are some programs that let you run many games on your Linux box, but not all of them. But generally speaking, if you're not a big game player and you don't use any Windows-specific programs for work, the only thing you'll notice about Linux is that it works better.
Now, well, that sounds pretty positive. I mean, there's an open office, I think, available for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are office suites. There are graphic editors. There are music play programs, music editors. You'll find all the same kinds of software, but you won't find specifically Microsoft Word or specifically Photoshop.
Now, you're going to have to do a little bit, depending on which version of Windows you get. You know, if you get Linux Mint or you get Ubuntu or you get PC Linux OS or whatever, you've got to do a little bit of configuring one way or the other. For example, under Linux, it doesn't automatically play MP3s. You just have to install a piece of software that you can install right through the installation menu. That will let you play MP3s. It's very quick. It's very easy. Under applications, there's something called the software store under version 9.10. And it gives you access to, what is it, the last count, 20,000 free programs.
Yeah.
Believe me, if there's something you want to do that you can't do, maybe it's time to not do that thing. If you can't find one of the 20,000 programs that doesn't do it, you know. And if what you do, like I said, is you're a standard user, you do email, you do web browsing, you listen to music, you look at photos.
That's it.
Then Linux will do you proud, and you have way less of a problem with viruses and malware and all that other crap that is in all of those other things.
Well, you know, the original reason I went to Firefox was that it was supposed to be a stripped-down browser, but now it's not anymore.
And well, it's not stripped down so much as less bloated with junk, yeah, particularly if you don't add in a lot of the add-ins.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be just as susceptible to all of these viruses and malware as Explorer is now.
Well, it's not quite.
Not, and it's the drive, you know, click by, drive by clicking,
yeah. No,
phishing attacks. Yeah. Those types of things you're still susceptible to, and have to be familiar with what you're doing.
Right, and
but with
right,
Internet Explorer, you go to a website and it downloads, installs things without you knowing it. At least on Firefox, it asks you.
Right, and the other thing is that you're still under the underlying operating system is still Windows. If a virus that runs under Java is going to hit Windows, it'll do it through whatever browser you're using.
Yeah, right.
So certainly moving to Linux. And you know what we keep saying is you download a copy of Ubuntu and you burn it, you can use it as a live CD, so you can play with it for a while.
Right.
Understanding that as you use it, it's slower because it's got to not only bring things in from the CD drive, which is much slower than your hard drive, but also has to uncompress them. So loading programs is slower. But you can play with it, and you can try it out, and you can test things. You know, before, maybe not mail, because mail, you're going to be at, if you're downloading your mail to your hard drive, you got nowhere to really download it to. But in terms of everything else, you can try out the photo things. You can try out the browser. You can try out the office suite and see how they work for you. And you'll find that, as I always say, it's like buying a new car, which I hope to do very soon. You still know how to drive. You just don't know where the radio is.
See, the new cars have so many gadgets in them these days that, yes, that we don't have.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I like the collision avoidance radar. There's a neat new TV show on USA, White Collar. It's an old story about the criminal that gets out of jail, partners with the FBI to solve crimes. And they're arguing in the car, and he's driving a new Ford Taurus. And a little red light keeps beeping on the windshield, on his heads-up display, and the car brakes itself. So while they're arguing in the car, he doesn't have to be paying attention. And he throws away a light. It's a Ford. It takes care of itself.
Yeah.
So that's
a way to
collision avoidance radar. So if you don't brake before you get too close to someone, it brakes for you.
Yeah. Okay. But that's the kind of thing that you need to do. And I, you know, go with it. Go with it and see what you get.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try it.
All right, good for you. Let us give us a report from the reports from the field with Marty. We'll be looking forward to those. It's always good to see a brave new soul moving forward with that.
And that's a great use for an old computer.
It's a great use for an old computer, particularly if you have it as your second machine. You know, you've got that older machine that's sitting around. Maybe you feel like giving Linux a try and see what it gives you. All right, we are going to take another break. But as always, we will be back in just a couple of minutes. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. Give us a call, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. 1-800-790-0415 right here on Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show. Sound bites, celebrating 20 years.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton thanking you for becoming a member or renewing your membership to Jazz 90.1. Because of you, we'll continue to broadcast great jazz music you've come to expect, as well as continuing our online streaming, live studio concerts, and special programs you can't hear anywhere else. If you've not yet made that pledge of support to Jazz 90.1, you still have time. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. or by calling 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can browse and select from the great thank you gifts we're offering at the various donation levels like CDs and DVDs and great Jazz 90.1 clothing items online. Thank you for supporting your jazz station. Member supported, Jazz 90.1.
I'm Steve Wozniak, and you're listening to Sound Bites.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations. So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ, and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 welcomes our newest member card businesses, Enright PC Management and Holland Music Studios.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we our sound bites. You know, you can give us a call at 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Bill did. Where are you calling from, Bill?
I'm calling from Where Life is Worth Living.
Webster. Webster. That's Webster. The town slogan.
Gotcha, Nick.
Yep.
You got me. I don't live in Webster. I don't know. All right.
I have a Firefox question.
Yes.
Been using Firefox for years. Love it. But a few upgrades ago, we got into a situation where when you first boot up the computer and first open Firefox, it takes like 45 seconds to open. And I've looked on the web, and apparently this is a problem that a lot of people have. And I keep waiting for a version to come along which fixes this problem, but it hasn't. So I did a little searching, and I found this thing called a Firefox preloader. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I've heard of it. I haven't used it much myself.
I've seen Firefox do that itself. It has I forget what they called it, but it put a startup program, so it starts up a lot of the Firefox stuff when you boot.
I think this actually came off the Mozilla site, and it loads into your system tray, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
However, it has one interesting characteristic, and I was curious if you knew about anything about it. When I load that, quite often, the first time I open Firefox, Firefox will open into the upper left-hand corner of the screen, just a small portion of the toolbar. It doesn't open a whole window. And when I click on it to make it bigger, it always has a Lycos search engine with the same specific search on it.
Lycos, wow.
No toolbars or anything. I have to close that and then open Firefox again, and then it works.
What it sounds like is if you've got a virus.
Boy, I'll tell you, I scan my machine once a week and use malware bytes and everything else.
I don't know. Have you danced the whole tango?
Yeah.
Safe mode the whole routine?
Yeah.
Jeez and crackers.
I suppose it could be, but, I mean, I'll never say no.
Yeah.
Could there be a website in his startup? Somewhere in the registry, there's the run equals command, and maybe there's a website that has been set as a startup site.
Or because in your startup folder.
Some Trojans and viruses have done that, especially the browser homepage redirector Trojans. They will put themselves, so the malicious website, in your startup folder or in your registry. So every time you open your browser or every time you boot your computer, it automatically opens this bad page to reinfect you.
Yeah, but what's really curious is this only started happening after I put in this Firefox preloader.
Maybe that's a feature of the preloader.
Right. I don't know where you got this preloader.
Sponsor-driven? Yeah.
But it may also be a freeloader. A Lycos freeloader.
Could have some baggage behind it that you were unaware of.
Often,
maybe it's time to take that off, huh?
Maybe it's past time.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things that we find is that people get Firefox and they're really happy with it. Then they start throwing in a bunch of add-ons, and some of them are dicey at best. Firefox starts loading a whole lot slower, starts doing weird things, and everybody thinks it's Firefox when, in fact, it's whatever those add-ons were.
All I know is if you Google Firefox slow to open, there's a ton of stuff out there. There's a lot of people having trouble with this. Like I say, it's only the very first time after you boot up.
Right.
Once you've started Firefox once, then it opens very quickly.
Yeah, and that's because some of it's in memory. It's left in memory, and that preloader concept would fix that. But I got to be honest, when I've had that same experience with my Linux box, and then I installed a brand new Linux box and put Firefox on it, double clicked on it, and it popped up in a half a second because I had no additional stuff.
You can try the Firefox safe launch and see if that opens a lot faster by not loading any of those plugins.
Okay.
Right. But I gotta be honest, it sounds a whole lot like that preloader has done you some mischief.
Okay, I was kind of thinking along those lines that I thought maybe you guys might have run into this specific issue.
No.
All right, sounds like I know which way I'm headed.
There you go.
Make sure, though, you use Revo to get rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm seeing several different programs called Firefox Preloader.
Bill.
One is from SourceForge, which is probably a good one, but there's a couple other Firefox preloaders because preloader is such a generic term.
Right.
You may have gotten one that isn't as good as others.
Right. All right. Here's this is the second thing I want for Christmas outside of my droid. The second thing I want is an ebook reader. And the question is, will 2010 be the year of the ebook reader? It certainly looks that way. Amazon continues to improve its Kindle lineup. Barnes & Noble claims it can't keep up with customer demand for its new Nook e-reader. Meanwhile, a host of competitors, including Sony Reader and the lesser-known products from Plastic Logic, they've got the Q. Foxit Software has the e-Slick. And others promise to give e-reader fans plenty of options. Of course, vendor interest doesn't always translate into consumer demand. So, well, why will e-readers take off in 2010? Well, there are a couple of good reasons. Finally, the price is right. When the original Kindle debuted 2 years ago, it cost $400. Kindle 2 now costs $259, so does the Nook. One Sony Reader, the Pocket Edition, is relatively cheap at $200, although most users would likely prefer the $300 Touch Edition because it's got a touchscreen, or the $400 Reader Daily Edition, which adds wireless. As e-reader prices continue to fall, their appeal as gifts will grow, too. And unlike a mobile phone, the e-reader doesn't saddle the recipient or the giver with a monthly fee. You pay only for the content you want. Another reason is that they're easy to use. Even technophobes can use an e-reader. The controls are simple. The single-use nature of the devices eliminates much of the complexity of smartphones and other multifunction gadgetry. Another reason is that the technology is improving. This year alone brought a lot of essential enhancements to readers, including touch screens, bigger screens, longer battery life, color LCDs, PDF support, and storage is plentiful, too, with its SD card slot. Readers like the Nook can hold more than 17,000 books, which is more than most people would read in a lifetime, and even I believe I will be hard-pressed to reach 17,000 volumes in a lifetime. And that's because I've stopped reading the little thin books, and I've gone to books, chapter books.
No pictures?
Right. Of course, right, exactly. And then there are Google's free books. Book authors and publishers may see Google as a threat to their very existence, but there's little doubt the two sides will ultimately reach a settlement in their ongoing copyright infringement battle. In the meantime, Google's efforts to digitize public domain books has produced thousands of free literary classics. Free content makes e-reader value proposition that much more appealing. Tech gadgets are cool and fun, and of course, reading is good for you. We're always being told we need to read more. When we're not being told, go outside and play. There's an intangible, good-for-you quality about an e-reader, a marriage of cutting-edge tech and old-school education. And it's easier, if a little more expensive, to buy someone an e-reader than an actual book because there's no agonizing over the right title. Then again, some analysts claim e-readers are too expensive to ever achieve mainstream appeal. We'll have a better idea next year if that's true. Or we could just ask you, do you own an e-reader? Do you want an e-reader? Do you hate e-readers? Give us a call. That's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Those of you listening on the stream from the far-flung corners of our nation and the world, please give us a call. Tell us what you think of that stuff. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast at a later date, well, oh well.
Ironically, that story was from PC World. Over at Computer World, they ran an article, Seven Reasons That Ebook Readers Make Lousy Gifts,
right,
and Don't Buy Them. There's always the next better one coming.
Mm-hmm.
They're the least discounted gadgets on the market because they're also new.
Right.
There's so many other ways to read e-books. You've got your iPhone, your Google phone, your netbook already. And when you give someone an e-reader, You're giving them a specific technology. You know, you give them a Kindle, they're sort of locked into Amazon. Well, not locked in, but that's the easiest way it works.
Yeah, locked in, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely locked in.
And some of the best choices aren't even shipping yet. Apparently the Nook won't ship until early January. So you can give someone a piece of paper saying, I bought you a Nook.
Well, you could have bought a Nook up until about a month ago when they bought it. It was so popular they ran out of them, they're saying.
Yep.
I know a couple people who have them, and they're very impressed.
Yeah,
but
The one big the big problem with this, well, from my world at least, the big problem with the Sony reader is you have to use a Windows PC.
That's the problem with most of them.
Yeah, to put books on them. Kindle has the really nice advantage of having that wireless built into it, so you can actually buy books right on the Kindle.
So is the Nook.
And you don't have to pay a subscription fee for the wireless,
right,
which is really amazing.
Right.
But that's the reason they cost a little more than the other book readers.
Right. And interesting thing about the Nook is if you're actually in a Barnes & Noble, because Nook does the Barnes & Noble, you can read, while you're in the store, you can read any of their books for free. Just like you can walk up and pull a book out of the shelf and sit one of those nice chairs and read for a while. Do the same thing with the Nook. The other interesting thing with the Nook is that you can loan it to somebody. You can loan it to them. You can say, oh, I want Steve to get this book, and I send it to him, and then for 2 weeks, he has it to read, and I can't get at it. Then it comes back to me automatically. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
They thought it through.
I thought we might hear from Mike, see how he made out on his overnight venture.
I know. Mike was Mike last night in Second Life.
We should talk a little bit about
that.
Yeah,
we do Friday night, every Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m.-ish Linden time, which is on the that's on the left coast. So here on the east coast, it's 9 p.m. to about 11 p.m. We're in Second Life. You can find us by doing a search for us.
Well,
we're
right
on Finger Lakes Island.
Off of our webpage, we have a link.
And there's a link right off our webpage. So we're there every Friday night. And last night, Mike Ivana, however he pronounces that, had a lot of questions about cloud computing. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about how you use the cloud, what you put in the cloud, how you do things in the cloud, what programs go into the cloud, and how is it that when he walks in, there's no fanfare?
Da-da-da!
There we are.
Because he hasn't walked on camera yet.
That's why. Rob Linton in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Linton! But we were talking a lot about cloud computing and how you can keep all your data in the cloud and how you can keep all your information up there. And it's actually pretty cool. The problem, of course, is who do you trust? You know, if you're using S3 at Amazon or you're using iOS or you're using Cloud DocX or you're using Google, you can do that. Yeah. I have it. I'm good. Oh, you want it like this now? Is this what you want? Does this make you happy? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do it this way then. We have Rob Linton in the house, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe it's time for him to say a word.
A word.
All right, that was it. That's two words.
No, that was two words. Yeah.
Rob, who is our station manager here at Jazz 90.1, and the gentleman who dragged us kicking and screaming and bleeding into the Jazz 90.1 studios.
I did.
You did.
I did.
But you bought us lunch. We are that easy.
Well, right. Yeah. It doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't.
So I figured I'd come in and see what's happening.
And how do things look so far?
Well, you don't want to know.
I didn't touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't, as a matter of fact. He was standing there, and all of a sudden stuff started to play, and the look on his face, he really kind of looked like a deer in the headlights. It was kind of cute.
Well, actually, I plan it that way. I like to make sure that jazz just starts playing every now and then, so
just
people
for the
realize
heck of it?
That it's a jazz radio station.
Yeah, he literally
station,
was over,
you know,
grabbing a sip of coffee, and all of a sudden we start hearing the music play. It's like, huh?
Exactly.
Sure, Dave. That's kind of like the people that say, well, it's my sister's machine or my brother's computer.
No,
or my,
but I got two witnesses.
You know what I mean?
And we'll lie for Dave. We don't mind. What happened was he fell asleep. His forehead bumped a button somewhere on the console. And what are you going to do from then on?
I don't know what to say anymore.
All
right. Well, you guys should take a phone call so I can figure out what's going on with the phone system. You know what I mean?
All right. Somebody call in. You don't even have to have a question. Just call in so that Rob can figure out the phone system and we'll figure out what's going on with this. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good.
You don't have to shout. We have microphones.
I know.
All right.
It was very good. How about you guys?
It was very, very pleasant. We went to my father-in-law's, had a real nice time, nice dinner.
He was
calling
from his mom's, and notice he didn't bring any of her cookies.
You son of a gun. You low-life son of a gun.
When you called in, I noticed that you were cooking.
Today's the day that I had to help her get the Christmas decorations out. You know, it's like an annual tradition or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She probably was going to send cookies. And
No cookies yet. I told her that this year you guys have to earn them. You know what I mean?
Well, I will make sure.
Then you don't get any rum balls.
Trust me, I need to designate a driver before I have any rum balls.
You aren't kidding. We all
do.
Holy
cow.
I almost started the show that way. I almost started the show by saying, well, you know, Halloween is over. Thanksgiving is over. So now it is the season. Time to talk about rum balls.
Oh, yep. Oh, we are.
You know, and the funny part about it is that first year that Dave brought him in, I'm like, these are scrumptious. And I just kept eating them and eating them, and I had a hangover by the time we were
Yes,
done.
You did. We were all just little bit.
We stopped talking about computers. I think we were talking about, you know, health problems.
Yeah,
by
who
the
knows?
End of the
yeah,
show.
My answer, we were, what we were talking about.
Do we even have tape of that show?
I hope not, because it would probably be a bad idea. Yeah, we're waiting for Dave. Dave makes rum balls every year. I think he makes them with 700 proof.
It's Jamaican rum.
Jamaican rum.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've been to Jamaica before, too, and nothing touches those rum balls. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't know where he gets this rum, but wherever it is, I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
It's illegal. Exactly. Yeah.
I ain't telling.
So you had a good time. I had a real good time. It was quiet and pleasant, which is exactly what I wanted.
Well, somehow, you know, it's just like, holy cow, it flew by. You know, it's going to be Christmas. What is it? Christmas is 3.5 weeks away?
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm
not done with my shopping.
It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
My wife, of course, has been shopping since last January 20th, or December 26th.
All my Christmas shopping's done.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
You stink.
I get all my... I worked in retail for years, so yeah. I make it kind of a vow to myself not to go anywhere near the malls the month of December. From the day after on, because I just can't stand it anymore.
Oh, I do all my shopping online.
Oh, same. I've gotten more to that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but there's certain things you just can't get online.
It used to be that the Monday after Thanksgiving was Cyber Monday,
mm-hmm.
when everybody would go to work and use their high-speed data lines to do their shopping. Now, of course, you can do it at home because most people have high-speed data lines at home.
There was an article yesterday the Associated Press put out that, you know, they're warning people to be very careful of online shopping because of warranties, return policies,
mm-hmm. yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, things like that.
It was that the FCC just did a injunction against web loyalty, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're at the end of a legitimate company doing a legitimate buyout, and you get a thing. Would you like a coupon? And even if you click no, you get charged a fee and signed up for a monthly service, $10 a month on your credit card. And most people don't notice it, and so they just ignore it and go right by.
Right. And that's becoming a real problem in these places.
Well, you know, and it's sad too because, like, you know, I bought a couple things off of eBay. You know, people want PayPal, and I've got an issue. The guy hasn't sent it yet, but of course, it's paid for.
Yep, exactly.
You know, well, and it's just like I don't mess around. I am on the phone saying
you have to
give me my stuff, or you know what I mean.
Well, that's the big issue with auction sites and places like PayPal. The seller doesn't want to send the product until they get the money, and the buyer doesn't want to send the money until they get the product. So it's oftentimes it's a catch-22.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we know what that sound means. It means this is a jazz station. That's the reason Rob is playing it. But it also means that we're going to take a quick break, so we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Rob Linton, and each and every one of you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Give us a call, and we'll be right back on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton thanking you for becoming a member or renewing your membership to Jazz 90.1. Because of you, we'll continue to broadcast great jazz music you've come to expect, as well as continuing our online streaming, live studio concerts, and special programs you can't hear anywhere else. If you've not yet made that pledge of support to Jazz 90.1, you still have time. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. or by calling 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can browse and select from the great thank you gifts we're offering at the various donation levels like CDs and DVDs and great Jazz 90.1 clothing items online. Thank you for supporting your jazz station. Member supported, Jazz 90.1.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge. When we see people serving their country and one another, volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines, and the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Oh, and Rob Linton. I keep forgetting he's there.
I forget. What do I say? I'm Rob Linton.
I'm Rob Linton.
Oh, all right. It's been a while.
Let's do it again. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you're listening. Yes. I love this. And you're listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1.
One thing I want to mention to David, it may have something to do when you get older, but he's got a premature bell ringing problem. You know
he does,
saying?
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets a little excited with the bell.
Wait. Get the professional. I'll show you how it's done.
We'll talk to
done.
His wife.
Well, exactly. We'll show you how it's done. You ready? Here we go. All you have to do is go over to get ready. You're going to ring the bell.
Oh, Dave is ready.
Oh, I got to do it. Yeah,
you got to do it. Yeah. We'll go over to AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
There Hello. You go. That's you get the I'm professionals on the bell, and you know exactly what's going on. Exactly right. All right, we're going to take a very charming. We're going to take a phone call. Our next caller is Sal. Where are you calling from, Sal?
Hey guys, Sal here from Fairport.
Fairport. What can we do for you?
Membership. I pledged about 3 weeks ago or so.
Good for you.
Any information from you at all?
Oh. Uh-oh. Well, luckily we have Rob right here.
It's coming. It's coming. See, here's the deal. We always try to pass this along to the Jazz folks, but tend to forget during the other shows. See, we like to wait until we can get the bulk mail rate for everything because it's cheaper to send stuff out. So, you know, we appreciate everyone's patience, but the goodies have gone out. T-shirts should be another couple of weeks. They're coming from another vendor. If you got any clothing, the polo, the hat, the T-shirt, any of that stuff will be coming, we promise. We just try to wait till we have the bulk mail rate so it's a little bit cheaper for our poor little radio station.
Sounds fine. Thanks.
There you go. Thanks, Sal. See that? People want their stuff. People love what we're doing.
It doesn't get any better when you can talk directly to the boss.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know, this is the time because, you know, we've got people who pledged at the way beginning of the membership campaign, which was mid-October, and they haven't gotten any of their goodies yet. It's like, you know, we understand and we appreciate everyone's patience, but it saves us so much money when we can send it out as bulk.
Yes, yes.
Versus the $2 and something it costs us to send out each CD, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, everything's coming. We promise. The T-shirts have been ordered, and the shirts have been ordered, and they're coming soon.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. So be patient just a little bit longer. Heaven knows that we really, really appreciate your support and your membership.
On the internet. Holy Christmas.
That wasn't the biggest. We had 92 earlier.
Wow,
94. Really? Rob is shocked at the number of people who are listening online.
Well, I mean, we usually have a very good Jazz turnout during the week, but I mean, like, you guys are really kicking on the weekend, you know what I'm saying?
That's what we do.
Just leave your Visa, Nick, and I'll arrange for those extra streams. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, what's it going to take?
$2,000.
Is that all?
For another 100 streams, yes.
We have our members. Our members will start sending in bucks. We're going to have the
If we can get to the 100, you know, the 100 stream, and like you said, sustain it for, you know, at least a week or so,
or
a couple
2
weeks.
Months or 8 months or so, or
well, with our listeners, you know, they're just going to be there, and you know, we can keep that going for a while. You know, we'll be in real good shape. We can just, you know, just keep adding forth just and then to, ask them.
It's fun to picture.
I saw that
a programmer quitting his job. Took the extra time to write into his program. The designer you don't treat very well has quit.
That's not what it says on the...
Well, that's what I can read on the air. Your company and employees have not been affected. Click renegotiate to discuss terms of a contract. Click HR to find out how badly you messed up.
Yeah, exactly.
So that could be why you got fired, or was treated badly, because he's spending not enough time programming the real work.
Right. All right, our next caller is Judy. Where are you calling from, Judy?
I'm calling from Hilton.
Hilton, New York. What can we do to make you happy?
Well, listen, this is Judy, the senior.
Yes.
So I'm not quite up to speed with all the guys over there and all this stuff, but I've got a silly question, and I just can't figure out how to fix it.
Yes?
On your desktop, you have little icons of things you want easy access to.
Right.
And it has, you know, some little word or some letters underneath so you know which one is which.
Yep.
Mine are white. And I want to change them to black so I can read them. I can't read them.
The text is white on a white background?
Yeah. Well, no, I have a wallpaper on there.
Right. You can change that color. Which version of Windows are you running?
Home or XP Home.
XP Home. I think if you write, oh dear. XP Home.
Yeah, it's
hold on
it's
a second.
In display properties somewhere.
It's in display properties.
I'm looking for instructions on how to get to
it. Yeah, hold on
a second.
Because
I know when you go in there, there's a thing called theme. And,
right, you can customize each one of those sections. Themes are a pre-built setting of the color of icons, the size of icons, the color
right.
of the fonts. You can customize each of those settings in that next tab.
Right. One of those, one, you see the colors of the text and you see the colors of the icons and things. You, there's a, those are drop down menus and you can change each of those.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So you can use the drop down menus to find the icon text and change that to any color you like.
Okay. So, like, give me an idea of what I go through. Like, I put in for what? Display?
Right. You go into the display properties.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, display properties.
Right. And in the display properties, the first choice is themes,
uh-huh.
right? And you can pick a theme, but you can also go to appearance, and in the appearance tab.
Ah, yes.
Ah, that's the one. Under the appearance tab, you'll see a lot of choices down there, and I don't have Windows in front of me, so I can't exactly show.
That's okay.
Lead you to it, but in there, you can change all kinds of things, including the color of the borders and the color of you know where it says active window there and all of those things.
Okay.
You can change those color sets. You can also save them by name so you can make the ones you like for yourself.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, one of the things that we always tell people, because nowadays virus writers are getting really, really good, and you'll often go to a website and get a pop-up that says you're infected, click here. Those are always in the traditional blue Windows colors.
Right, that's like the main one.
If you were to change your theme, and there's always the silver choice, or of course you can go into appearance and make your own color scheme. If you change the color scheme for Windows, either by picking one of the ones that's built in or making your own, then when you see something with that blue border, you know it's a fake.
Ah, I got rid of the blue border a long, long time ago, and I put in silver, and I thought maybe that's what the problem was. And then I put in green. So now I can just go in and, oh, you don't know. This is great because I'm squinting and looking, and I can't read it.
Sure.
Gee, way.
Sure.
Just don't use hot dog.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah, right.
What's that?
Hot dog is one that's the worst Halloween colors come to life. All these oranges and blacks and I mean, brilliant oranges. I get to a person's computer, I'm going to work on it, and they got that hot dog on there, and I'm ready to throw up.
Oh, I don't want that.
No. It's rough on the eyes.
Okay, so that's great. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Judy. We appreciate you.
Judy, you got to do one thing for us.
What's that?
Tell a friend.
I will.
Thank you.
I will. I love this whole thing. Last time I called, I asked about that little flyer thing that used to come out. It's called the computer in the grocery store there.
And oh, computer link. Yeah, absolutely.
It's I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's still there. It depends on where you go to get it.
Like Wegmans here in Ladder Road?
I don't know. No. I'm not out on Ladder Road, so I can't tell you that. But there are a lot of places that do carry it. And if you go to techny.com.
Okay.
And Steve will put a link on our website. Techny.com is where Computer Link's home is.
Uh-huh.
And
they have a list of
sites
where you can pick up the paper.
Great, because I think that's helpful. I mean, it's a learning thing for me.
You know.
Even things I never even thought about.
Yep, Justin Zimniak is the guy who puts that out. He does a phenomenal job every month putting that thing out. It's amazing.
You can also subscribe, and then they mail you a copy directly to your house.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're great. Like, for example, this Windows 7 thing, I'm thinking to myself, do I have to have that, or can I stay with Home XP?
Stay with Home right now.
For
right now, unless there is some big, compelling reason.
No.
Then, you know, just write it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you heard us before, we were talking about, you know, the folks who are using Windows ME and Windows 98. And that operating system is long past its life.
I think they don't even support that anymore, do they?
They haven't in a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, XP is still going to be supported for a while. I think that's still got another 5 years.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, but a lower level of support. They'll do essential fixes, but not. You know, and nothing above what's absolutely critical.
And the other companies that are still writing virus and spyware programs and that, they're still going to support XP because there is still a big number out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's still going to be around. You don't have to rush out tomorrow and, you know, dump your XP machine. You still got some time.
See, because I never know, like, what's the next generation thing for the home people here.
That's why you got to listen to us.
We will tell you.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that great? Because I don't want to change everything on there because my son also uses it, and I don't want to have the thing, like, down. Right.
See, and that's the other thing the three of us try to do. Is, you know, we always try to make recommendations, and we're going to tell you exactly how we feel. Nobody's paying us. You
know, right.
There's no underwriters telling us, well, you got to just recommend this machine. We're going to tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
We got no axe to grind, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, we'll tell you.
I like that about that.
That's what we're here for.
That's what I'm calling for, not somebody who's got, like, a sponsor.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, you guys.
Thank you.
Not that we don't want sponsors or underwriters.
We do want sponsors. Yes. We do want underwriters. Absolutely,
we do. You can't control what we say.
Well, you kind of know what I mean.
Yeah, we do. Thank you, Judy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have fun with your multicolored computer now.
A whole new outlook on it.
Exactly. Well, so that's one of the practical jokes we like to play on people. You take a picture of their desktop, set that to be their desktop wallpaper, and then take all the real icons off.
Yes, yes. I've done that to several people. Listen, last thing, we're coming down to the end of the wire here, but we want to talk to you about those of you who are looking to buy PCs online for this, whether it's Cyber Monday or whatever else it is, you need to be really, really careful. You need to be very clear as to what it is you're buying and what it is you're getting. A lot of those great deals aren't so great, so wait until... take a close look at what you're getting. Make sure that when you buy that cheap machine, it comes with enough RAM. Otherwise, you're going to spend a whole lot of extra money for RAM. Make sure it comes with decent hard drives, or you're going to be spending more money for decent-sized and decent-speed hard drives. There's a whole bunch of reasons to be very, very careful about what you buy online and what you get. Often those great deals aren't as great as they look or sound, so be very, very careful what it is that you do or get when you go online.
And that may be a reason to not buy one online.
Well, and that's my point. Yeah. Again, we much prefer, we tell people all the time, buy locally. Now, I, we talk about not having an axe to grind. I have less than an axe to grind than these two guys because I don't sell anything. But I'm telling you, go on locally. Go locally, not online, because it's locally where you get that face to look at and you know that you're going to have the kind of service and support that you deserve. All right, that's it for another week. We want to thank each and every one of you who called in. Apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Next week, call in earlier and more often. We want to thank Rob Linton for coming in and staring at the board as confusedly as Dave was. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. This is the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here along with you on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening, and we will see you right back, or at least hear you right back here next week. Bye-bye.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.